You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife. No one, they shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
Welcome back to The Wire. Earlier this week, the new National Act and New Zealand First government announced that in order to fund National's promised tax cuts, they will be making changes to the smoke-free legislation. This includes revoking the ban on the sale of cigarettes to future generations, reducing nicotine levels, and limiting the number of tobacco retailers. Many organizations have come forward to express their concern about this change, including the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation New Zealand. This morning, I spoke to the foundation's CEO, Letitia Harding, about the negative health impact of this change. National's claim that the legislation would lead to a growth in the black market and what we need to do to protect Aotearoa's youth from lung and heart disease. To start off, could you briefly walk us through what the specific impacts of smoking, vaping, and secondhand smoking on young people is, especially those aged 25 and under?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that everybody is in agreement internationally on the harms and or dangers of smoking. Smoking is a massive issue for our younger people, but also our current smokers wanting to quit. And we know that that health harm includes lung and heart health and ultimately cancer as well.
And what has the increase in vaping amongst youth led to in terms of heart and lung disease?
Yeah, so the vaping in youth actually has two issues. One around the high nicotine content, which leads to nicotine dependency. And then, of course, the other issue is around the detrimental health harms of the vape ingredients themselves. So we know that there is actually damage to lung tissue, and obviously there is a negative effect on the heart and secretory system. So this is obviously coming out in a lot more papers internationally. The long-term harms of vaping in terms of cancer, that will take some years to show up.
And how will the coalition's decision to revoke banning cigarette sales to future generations and limiting nicotine retailers increase lung and heart disease, and at what scale?
Yeah, I think there's two issues with the coalition's announcement about repealing the smoke-free legislation. You know, one is around the looking at repealing the denicotisation of cigarettes. And once again, that also sort of relates to why we've been pushing for lower nicotine levels in vaping. If you can reduce the nicotine content in both cigarettes and in vapes, then obviously you reduce that that potential for dependency and nicotine addiction. By not looking at 600 tobacco specialist outlets, then it's accessibility. And the same we've seen with our vape products. It's that accessibility and normalisation of the products which can lead to uptake.
The government is also, so far, planning to go ahead with vaping restrictions. Is there a possibility amongst young people that cigarette smoking will become more popular, as many might resort to cigarettes, seeing as they might become easier to get than vapes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. There's been a lot of information come out internationally and even the World Health Organization stating that vaping can be a gateway to cigarette smoking. At the end of the day, you know, both come from big tobacco, the big tobacco industry, and so we need to be obviously very wary of any of the initiatives that big tobacco is pushing. So, yes, I think that there is a risk of that. It's certainly been internationally recognized as a risk, but you know, smoking itself is obviously the most deadliest option, and so we were hoping that the new legislation and the Smoke-Free 2025 initiative would be going ahead, and they had support from a lot of health professionals across the board.
Prime Minister Luxon also made the argument that the smoke-free legislation could lead to a bigger black market. Is there any actual evidence for this?
No, look, I mean, that's an argument which big tobacco often cites. The reality is if you reduce the size of any market and demand, then you actually reduce, you know, the interest in those products and the demand. So that's not an issue. And I think that, you know, I think it was Deputy Prime Minister David Seymour said, if you took it, for example, the pseudoephedrine in pharmacies, saying that we can't make decisions based on, you know, unlawful actions of certain groups, and that's why he's putting pseudoephedrine back into pharmacies, then you can't then turn around and say, actually, we can't have 600 tobacco outlets because they're at risk of
unlawful activities or people breaking into them. So, you know, you can't have one argument and then the other. So the big tobacco saying that it's going to create illicit trade, that's an argument they use and they have done for many, many years.
And what is the impact on non-smokers that have respiratory illnesses that might be exposed to more nicotine around them? What is the impact on them and also at what scale?
Yeah, so secondhand smoke is detrimental. There's been enough studies proving that. And also secondhand vape can actually exacerbate, you know, asthma attacks for those who do suffer from asthma and respiratory conditions. So both of those products are not ideal for anybody with a respiratory condition. And, of course, we have over 700,000 people in New Zealand living with a respiratory condition. You know, one in eight people have asthma. So, you know, it is something to be aware of.
If this change does go ahead, what kinds of actions would you say young people, parents in particular, need to take to protect their young ones from nicotine being even more accessible?
Yeah, it's all around education. I guess, you know, this is the area that the foundation has been very proactive in, having our Māori community liaison, Sharon Pihima, going out into schools and tukura around the country, educating our young about the harms of vaping and making them aware of the potential for nicotine addiction, and then actually getting feedback from our rangatahi ourselves as to what their solutions are. Interestingly enough, one of the top issues that comes out is the ease of accessibility to vape products. So, you know, this is why the health professionals around the country were united in saying, look, reducing outlets to 600 for cigarette smoking is a positive move, and it's the same thing. You know, we need to be reducing the accessibility of these products.
That was Letitia Harding, CEO of Asthma and Respiratory New Zealand Foundation, talking about the new government's changes to the smoke-free legislation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.